You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
You're 38-0-1 with a lead going into the third. You're doing something right. So
I would say so.
Something is working for you in the third periods. Obviously defensively, because you're not blowing games.
Well, and a lot of the maturity, and I think a lot of times though in those wins, they're in complete control of the game.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We're here until 7 p.m. leading up to Game 4 tonight. Leafs Bruins, the O-Dog currently overdoing SportsCenter. He'll be back in a short while. His body double's in the house. Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider.
What are you saying, Hayes?
I think it's – who's that a compliment for or a shot at more? You or the O-Dog?
Probably a shot more at O-Dog, I would say.
I don't know, man. I meant that as a compliment because he slid right in there in the middle spot.
I sat beside Duffy, and then beside Duffy was O-Dog at the game the other night in the press box. That was worth the price of admission.
Yeah. We,
we've heard about
him. We've heard and witnessed it. So Duffy had the secret cam going and sent it to a few of us. It is worth the price of admission.
Passion.
Passion was there.
I can't confirm or deny, but a couple of the old school journalist types up there, they don't love the cheering in the press box.
No, that would usually get you discarded, but in this case, former Leaf, honest about his intentions. And
exactly.
By the way, former Leaf, who's as hard on them when he's not happy as any journalist. So,
exactly. Know. Listen, the team's going to play the game. And we talk about it. We tee it up and we discuss it and we break it down based on what happens.
If a lot of the journalists want to change the way hockey's played, maybe O can change the way the journalists look at how the press box should be.
That's a pretty good point. I don't know why we're grilling you as if you have to represent.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even close to being a good point. But
no, but you are.
I'll make sure to bring it up at the next PHWA meeting that we have in the Stanley Cup final.
But you are part of it. That's what I'm saying. The old school would frown on the passion because you're supposed to be non-biased. Technically, is that what it is?
Well, yeah, you're a neutral observer.
But I've
ended up there honestly because I just don't care who wins. But that's more about 25 years on the beat. That's taken
I would have
the will
a hard time not saying a lot of the reporters that cover their local beat aren't biased towards the team. They're around the guys so much.
They are, man. It's not humanly possible not to have some sort of like an affinity for the team.
Sure, you get to know the players.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always say, and this is why, this is a bit the cynic in me, but I always say when you're covering a team, and I've never covered a team per se, I'm more of an NHL guy, but you either want the team you cover to be a true Stanley Cup contender or a complete 18-wheeler mess.
Right.
And nothing in between.
Because
the worst possible story is when nothing happens and you're 500 every year. You need calamity or you need this team actually has a chance. So you need excitement or mayhem. Same as I would think if you were hosting a certain radio show.
Or if you were on the panel for Montreal Canadian games all year where they were literally right down the middle. Nothing interesting ever happened.
But at least they were in the fight to our last game, which I greatly appreciated.
I guess you're right.
Could have gone a lot worse.
Anyway, what's the biggest surprise for you in this series through three games?
I wrote this the other night after the game, and it was my first game in the series. I watched the other two on TV while I was in Tampa, but I was struck in the rink at how much Boston was chasing the game from the Leafs. I'd just never seen that before between these two teams. And, I know in game two it went more Boston's way from what I could tell, but my point is the Leafs are playing to their strength. I talked to a couple of coaches before the playoffs about this, and he said the only way the Leafs can win is if they use their strength, which is their forward depth and speed, and keep Boston hemmed in almost the entire series. That happened the other night. It actually was still a close game because when the Leafs do break down, the Bruins get a good look. But the Leafs' forecheck right now is quite alarming to the Bruins. I talked to a couple of Bruins players today who said there's no question that the point of emphasis tonight is to be hard on Toronto's skill.
Yeah.
Okay, back to what the game two was for them. And number two, to slow down the Leafs' forecheckers. Patrice Bergeron the other night said to me, on the record, we need to get in front of them. We need to legally slow them down. We can't let the Leafs get at our D the way that they did in game three.
One thing
legally.
Yeah, legally, but to me that would be clogging the neutral zone. because the Leafs generate so much speed through the neutral zone, stretch passes. Easier said than done, but when you have guys like Bergeron who are aware of it, certainly they are going to cheat towards it. As far now, again, the counterpunch. If you realize that's happening, you have to have a reaction or be in front of it.
Right.
If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you see something is being wedged away, you can look at it and then go the complete opposite. That is the game within the game, and that's the adaptation to what's being done to you and what you can hand back to them. So I think that's where the Leafs have an opportunity. Is you're going to sell something, maybe you go in a different direction. It's still speed, it's still skill, but different looks.
A chess game all series
exactly.
long, you're right. And one thing I found intriguing, I don't know what you guys think, guys, but a Bruins player told me this morning, we were off the records, I'm not going to name him, but he said, in looking at a lot of the video, he was struck by one thing in particular, that when a forecheck is that aggressive, as the Leafs have been so far in this series, usually there's a breakdown in structure on the second layer.
Yeah.
In other words, if you can still make a pass through that, you should be on your way. He said what has surprised him so far is the Leafs structure has held up behind it on the second wave as well, which... I'm going to be as blunt as I can here. I don't know that we've said that much of the year for the Leafs.
No,
we haven't.
No.
So,
but a lot of that is the responsibility of the centerman, usually if the wingers are the first guys in.
Right.
And the centerman has done a great job of supporting the play.
Yeah.
And that's Tavares, that's Matthews, that's Nylander who's going to have to do that. That's the GOAT who Babs was raving about. Like this. The GOAT is a...
He's a winner, man.
Frederick Gauthier talked to him this morning. He's got a big smile. He's enjoying this. And this is a lot of fun. A lot of the Montreal French-Canadian media is here because the Habs are out, so he's doing daily interviews with
really?
The networks.
Wow.
And he's
hero,
got a thing going, and it's
just
awesome.
A hero.
Is
yeah.
he the only French-speaking player on the Leafs? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot. Is
yes.
There?
Yes. Basically, Freddie and I are the only people in... In Leafland, that
well, Babcock thinks he can speak French, doesn't he?
Well,
he went to McGill.
He went
I know,
to
but
McGill.
I have a bunch of buddies that went to McGill. They can't say hello in French.
The Leafs, all the years I've lived here, since 1995. I've not had a lot of big Quebec guys. And Félix Potvin for a long time was the only one, and then Yannick Perreault.
Yeah,
it's what can I say? You guys don't like us,
I guess.
Yeah,
man.
That's what it is.
I don't know what happened there. Well, the Habs are always trading our guys. PK's from Toronto. He had to go, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's interesting that type of insight from the Bruins. And
respect is what it sounds like.
It is. It's respect because I think in Game 1 and Game 3, the Leafs did do a very good job of forechecking too.
Yeah.
It's not like they were going in soft and playing a trap.
No,
they weren't giving you freedom necessarily behind the dots. I thought they did a very good job of pressuring the Bruins in Game 1 and Game 3. But if for whatever reason the forecheck broke down, they were there in support. That did not happen in Game 2. You know, it got ugly for them in Game 2. The puck was in their own end, really,
yeah.
the whole first 20 minutes.
And that was a point of emphasis from on the Bruins this morning, who said, back to being hard on their skill.
Yeah.
You read into what hard on their skill means, but I think they want a bit of Game 2 to come back. I'll tell you something else, guys. I had a very knowing look from a couple of Bruins players this morning when I said, are there any parallels you can draw from the way Columbus slowed down the Tampa Bay Lightning in their transition? And the answer was, yep.
Yeah, that's fair, but here's the thing. You can say it, executing it is a lot different, and doing it within the rules. That's the one thing. Like, if the Leafs skate and the Bruins, because I've said this all along, the Bruins aren't snails.
They've got a ton of talent. I mean, we're not talking about a bunch of grinders here.
Everyone looks at the Bruins and sees Chara. I get that. And you see Backes, who's older and not fleet of foot. But they've got some speedsters, too. But they don't play that way. Toronto allows – they play the north-south and allows the stretch game. So that's why it ups their pace. They still have to play within the rules. And that's where the Leafs can – if they want to be slowed down, maybe they draw a penalty, too, the Leafs. And that you go
well,
on the power
here we go again. I mean, that's the narrative of the series.
Two power play goals the other night. That was a difference. I mean,
right.
I thought, you know, the Leafs deserved to win, but they scored two power play goals when they needed to do that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Columbus was 5-for-10 in the series against Tampa, were they not?
And they were
and
perfect
and guess
on the penalty kill.
The Tampa Bay Lightning, number one power play in the NHL.
Feather.
Six power play opportunities in the series. It wasn't very good, but they also didn't get many looks at it. And I'm not... Yeah. You draw your own conclusion from what you think of that total, but it's obviously lower than what they're used to during the regular season.
Pierre LeBrun, a hockey insider. I mean, what is going on in the world when the big, bad Boston Bruins who have all the confidence in the world, and they should. You know, all of their veterans were won a cup, went to a cup final, and they're sitting here saying, yeah, Columbus is going to show us the light. Columbus is the team that we have to mimic.
To be fair, I was the one suggesting it, and they agree that there's some parallels there. It's not like they're going out of their way to make that point, but my point was just that the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs, for me, are the two teams in the East that have the higher pace transition game in the East, those two teams, right?
Yeah. I think the most talent in the East.
I think Kyle Dubas and Julian Breezebush share a lot of philosophies in how teams should be built, and my point is Columbus, within what they felt were the rules, John Tortorella, master game plan, slowed them down, frustrated them.
Yeah.
And that's what the Bruins did in Game 2 against Toronto. That's where I'm saying the parallel is there.
Well,
but it's an incredibly strange time right now in the NHL playoffs. We always talk about parity, and I think sometimes we talk about it because we want to convince ourselves of it in the media. Tampa's out. Pittsburgh's out. San Jose's on the ropes. Calgary is down to the 8th seed. It's happening. I mean, we're literally at the stage more than ever in the salary cap era where I don't know where you can sit down and confidently say, I'm gonna bet my entire life savings on one particular series. You can't.
No, you're right.
Here, doesn't it shine a light on the importance of making the playoffs?
Is it a good thing, though, for the league? Like, you know, I think there's got to be a balance. You know, I don't think this is healthy every single year.
I really don't.
At some point you want not a dynasty team. You don't need a team to win four or five or anything like that over a 5-year period. But when you've got a 62-win team getting swept in the first round, that's not good for the NHL.
It's embarrassing, actually. It's embarrassing.
I think it's probably confusing. You know, I worked at ESPN for many years, and there are always. Playoff fans that come on board this time of year there that aren't there during the year, so they're trying to catch up, and it would be confusing, I think, for a lot of once-a-year fans to come into this league and say, how does a 62-win team get swept? I mean, I'm not casting any, you know, the NBA obviously is doing things that puts it in a way higher spot than the NHL, but I'm telling you right now, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, if you win 62 games in the NBA, is there any possible chance that you're out in the first round?
No, I don't see it. And if it is, it's like once every decade it happens.
Right.
You know, like an 8 seed, just they don't beat 1 seeds. They don't.
Yeah.
Like, it just never happens. It's like the tournament, really. It's like March Madness.
Right.
You know, 1 versus 16. You know what the outcome is. Pencil it in, move them on. And I think there should be a balance.
I don't
want predictable playoffs.
No.
I don't want to see, like, okay, Golden State, they're going to win 12 straight, and we'll see in the final. I don't think that's good for business necessarily
Which
either.
It's been happening at times.
It has, absolutely. But there's got to be – now, you can't control it. You can't put rules in to avoid this. There's nothing you can do. You got to go play the game.
This is why you play the games. And that's – you know, you say it, and it's such a terrible cliche, but it's true. Like, I don't think Tampa went into that series going, okay – Columbus, give me the four games, and we're just going to move on here.
No. They were. I can tell you, I was there.
Right.
There was concern that they had drawn a heck of a team. I'm telling you, legitimately,
they did
not take the Blue Jackets lightly at all.
But the Blue Jackets were a good team that ended up in a wild card spot.
It should have been higher in the standings.
But it happened that way. It was a bad draw for them.
But you win 62 games. I said to Hayes the other night, you win 62 games. I don't care how good the first round team you're playing. You got to win.
Well, and you can't tell me they weren't cocky at 3-0 in the first period. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe for a second they didn't walk into the room saying,
and I'm
3-0, it's over.
I'm in the ring that night, and Kucherov has a wide open net, and Bobrovsky makes the save of the series early in the second period, and I remember thinking, if that goes in and it's 4-0,
they're done.
They pull Bobrovsky, Tortorella and Bobrovsky at war again.
Yep,
the Columbus psyche's broken right off the hop. Instead, Bobrovsky makes that miracle save, and then bang. And I tell you, it's a really bad look on the Lightning that their core players came as unglued as easily as they did. I mean,
that's
can talk about the rule book and then what's fair and not fair and everything else. At the end of the day, when adversity hit, Kucherov in particular, the guy that in June is going up to accept the MVP award.
Yeah. He is
the guy, the first guy to lose his cool in that series.
Right. Yeah. And you talk about putting a shield up. Pittsburgh Penguins, no one's talking about them today. They got swept in dummy too. They've won 3 cups. Tampa hasn't won a thing.
Because no one picked them to win the cup.
Well, but still, Sidney Crosby's out in the first round on a sweep for a team that was brutal a year ago and lost their franchise player.
Yeah.
Like, if Tampa's if Tampa's still playing or they sweep Columbus, it's all Pittsburgh, what happened, and doom and gloom, where are they going as a franchise.
I mean, that's a storyline. It is a storyline.
But no one's talking about it because Tampa's the sexier one.
It is. Yeah. You're right.
All right, Pierre. Good seeing you, buddy. Thank you
all
for
right,
doing
that's
this.
It. Are you guys signing autographs later?
Oh, we got Wendell Clark coming in, so we immediately become nobodies.
Coming in. And it got cold in here.
It's real cold. Is it Porcupine Plains?
Cold. I don't know. I don't think so. Wendell could be in a T-shirt and shorts here. He'd be fine.
This is Saskatchewan
this
in July.
This is grit and determination. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to get Wendell in here. Thank you, buddy. Good seeing you.
All right, boys.
Pierre LeBron, our Hockey Insider. We're live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 4 tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Game 4 tonight, Maple Leafs Bruins. We are live from Maple Leaf Square. Overdrive continues for a few more moments on TSN 2, and then Wednesday night baseball is coming up. We continue throughout the hour on TSN Radio and on the TSN app, and we have a Maple Leaf legend, friend of the show, Wendell Clark, joining us around the table. How you feeling, Wendell?
Oh, I'm good.
Feels like Saskatchewan in July out here.
It's not the Saskatchewan wind. We need Jeff with the hot air coming and talking here. We're in Saskatchewan, the tunnel here.
I like it. It feels like hockey weather, doesn't it? I mean, not necessarily playoff weather, but this is hockey weather.
This is it, where you guys are sitting, the blue sky, sunshine, everybody in a great mood. This is the only time of the year you miss as an ex-player in the playoffs.
That's what, I mean, oh, Noodles, you guys say the same thing all the time. You don't miss getting hit or blocking shots necessarily, but the atmosphere of the playoffs.
The whole grind, you know, from training camp through the regular season, the February, March blahs, and then you get into April, it's unbelievable. I tell people, think of it as a hockey player, every 48 hours as the average left winger, you play 15 to 18 minutes.
Yeah.
If you break the game down, every 48 hours they work 15 to 18 minutes. You can will yourself through just about anything, and that's the fun part about it. You don't even practice hard anymore. It's really just get ready for that every 2 days.
How did you change your routine from the regular season to the playoffs, if at all?
The routine really doesn't change. That's the habit. It's not a superstition or anything. It's just you get a routine, so when you get to the games, there's no thinking. You just go through it. I used to get there 4:15, 4:00, do my rehab before everybody else got in to see the trainer, and then just hang out really in the empty building and then get into the dressing room and get ready to play. You're just everybody does their own thing to get ready.
A bit of a different vibe down here at Scotiabank compared to the Gardens, I would think, in the 80s and 90s.
Well, it's the same. They'd be wrapped around Carlton Street down there, the same thing. They're not hosting anything with the technology we have today and everything, but it was fun building to be in, and tight buildings, the old ones, but like you say, nothing beats playoff hockey.
So you go into the playoffs. Is there a mindset where you know a little bit as a player the stuff you could get away with? I mean, we know that there's almost regular season officiating, and then you get to the playoffs and the intensity ramps up, and even the refs, they know, I mean, everyone's intensity. Even if you're a goal scorer, you're still expected to hit and block shots. Was there a mindset right around the room that you could be like, hey, like, let's push it into the gray area, but you know that it was going to be a war?
Yeah, no, the gray area is always bigger than a regular season. Every game has temperature. The refs don't want to make calls that's going to change the game either. So you got some great gray area. You just can't really cross the line. But it doesn't matter what type of player you are. You don't have to be the tough guy running over everybody, but you have to want to be able to play in the gray areas if your team or you want to succeed.
Yeah. Wendell Clark joining us around the table. If you're up 2-1 in a series, like the Maple Leafs are, do you allow yourself to start looking ahead and start thinking, man, we got a real opportunity here?
No, I would say if you're doing the Leaf dressing room right now, they're getting the pep talk going. They're coming out the first 5 minutes. Boston Bruins are throwing everything at us. Let's not change our game. Let's not do anything different. But you have to weather a storm to what they're going to do, because Boston came out game one and game three, they weren't running you over anything. Game two, they were. So, you know, game four, they're probably coming at you full guns. But just weather the storm. Play with what we do. We have to do our game. We can't get sucked into their game. And if we play our game, weather storm, get some great goaltending, we're going to be fine.
Can you counter that? Like, if you're the Maple Leafs, you know the Bruins are coming out flying tonight. Like, we would expect it. We expect it to be a replicate of game two.
Well, you counter it because they're going to come at you hard and finish. So when you get the puck, you got to move the puck. When you get the puck to center ice zone, you want to get it behind their defense early. You don't want the turnovers at the blue line where they shove it back down your throat and hit you again. You want to get it back, make sure they got to go 200 feet And now you got a chance to slow them up, make them go the full set of ice. So we want to get it back deep in their end and not make it easy for them either.
How would you handle a guy like Zdeno Chara? If you're chipping in his corner and he's bracing for you.
I would play him straight up with our Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Because he's a big guy. He's 108 years old right now. And yeah. Make him play in his feet. Make him find Mitch. You play him head up with Austin, and now it's two big guys that's pushing and shoving. You make him chase little guys. It's hard on a big guy because in the old days in hockey, you could clutch and grab, and he could say, you're mine.
Right.
Today, there's no clutching and grabbing, so Mitch, for him, is a hard guy to handle. So I'd throw speed at him, keep throwing it in his corner. We used to say that when we played Chicago in the playoffs, and Chelios is one top 2-3 defenseman in the league. Make him handle it. In a 7-game series, we want him tired. Don't keep it away from him because when he does get it, he's got lots of energy. So you're making the best player on the ice handle it a lot. So by the end of the series or end of the game, he's tired.
Overdrive continues on TSN Radio and on the TSN app. We say goodbye to everybody watching on TSN 2. We'll be back on TSN 4 tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. Wendell Clark continues to join us here around the table live at Maple Leaf Square. Every time we have you here, we bother you about that Bruce Bell hit. In St. Louis back in the day.
It's our honorary thing, and we bring it up probably once a month on the show because there's always a collision in the league, and you're like, nah, it's a good hit, but it's not like Wendell on Bruce Bell.
But I have a bigger hit I have to bring up. It's allegedly okay. A bigger hit. Now, there's no video of this.
Okay.
Mark sent me this tweet. All right. Mark sent me a tweet about an hour ago. We were plugging that Wendell was going to join us. He said, John Davidson has claimed the hardest hit he's ever seen was at the World Juniors that Wendell played in. Wendell almost killed the guy by the name of Tatarinov.
Tatarinov.
Do you remember that hit?
Was
it bigger than the Bruce Bell hit?
It was, well, because it was center ice. He come around behind that same setup. I was one of those defensemen that stepped up, and I got him right at the red line. Helmet went up, gloves went both ways, and we were lucky we went on to win 5-0.
Was that the biggest hit you've ever thrown?
For junior hockey, that was one of the big ones where his helmet went everywhere.
That's right. You were the defenseman.
I was a defenseman then, so I was coming up, you're guesstimating that guy coming through that hole.
The old trolley tracks.
Yeah.
He was coming through, and you were waiting
for
him.
I would have looked really good or really bad. If I missed, I looked really bad.
Right. Like you may not play another shift.
That's right. World Junior, that's kind of not a spot to do that.
Right. Yeah. No, well, we always love seeing you. I mean, these are such cool nights. Are you going? You're speaking with the crowd here tonight,
I'm going next door next with the crowd, then run around the building. It's fun. This is the best time to be in town. This is the great energy when all our teams are playing in the playoffs and especially the Leafs. This is, like I say, as an old player, this is the time of year you miss and you wish you could play. And these guys are doing it's the best game in the world.
Well, we always love having you on. We can't thank you enough for finding some time for us. And enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you down the road.
Thanks, guys.
There's Wendell Clark, the great Wendell Clark, joining us around the table live at Maple Leaf Square. Again, we'll get the O-Dog back in here a little bit later on. I didn't get the pronunciation of the guy's name.
He knew right away.
He knew exactly who he was. Yeah. Tatarinov.
Best part is helmet off, gloves to the side.
Tatarinov was his name. And that poor, you know what, he'd probably never heard of Wendell, but he knew, the Canadian team, there's some beef over there. And that dude, I can picture it in my mind, him coming through the middle of the ice.
Yeah, Scott Stevens hit. That's what it is. It's Clark on Tatarinov. Like Stevens on Korea.
Yes, on Kozlov or
Kozlov,
something.
Kozlov, just body there. Best part, helmet flies off, gloves fly off. The guy must have been out.
You know he didn't get back up.
No.
Like if Wendell says that might have been bigger than the Bruce Bell hit, that is a monster.
The fact that he remembered that, too. He's like, oh, no, Tatarinov. Confirmed.
You can write Mark back on that little Twitter box you got there. Tell him,
That thing you got there?
That little thing you got there.
Tell him exactly what happened.
And like I guess John Davidson, for the past 35 years, has said it's the biggest hit in the history of the sport.
That's unreal.
I love Wendell Clark.
We got to find out where – could you imagine if Tatarinov is like a – a Russian ambassador for hockey over here or something. Like, we got to track this guy down.
Al, get on it.
Yeah.
If we need to track down Tatarinov and just ask him, do you remember Wendell Clark absolutely destroying you.
Look, that this guy may never have played a game again, though. That's the thing. He's probably in finance or something, or oil and gas back in Russia.
Well, if he was at the World Juniors, I got him up here right now, actually. His name was Mikhail Tatarinov. He got drafted in the 11th round in the 84 draft by Washington.
And all right.
He did play 161 games in the NHL. He had a year in Washington, 2 years in Quebec. So Wendell would have seen him in the NHL. Imagine Tatarinov in warm-up skating around and being like, oh, there's that kid.
There's that guy.
Destroyed me at the World Juniors.
You know, it's weird. Like, I played with Wendell. Like, I played with him. And it just, I don't associate him as the former Islander. We had the fish sticks. Wendell Clark skating around in that jersey.
Right.
Like, he's a Maple
Even
Leaf,
in
obviously.
Quebec. Even in Quebec, it was, you know, like, they were a good team. Yeah, and that was a massive trade, obviously. Matt Sundin.
Right.
Wendell and all that. But he's a Maple Leaf, clearly.
Yeah that's
And
what
he's
he
a
is.
Legend down here. And we're at Maple Leaf Square. And the thing is about a guy like Wendell. And I think Daryl Sittler was out here a couple of nights ago.
Yep.
They haven't played in the NHL in a long time.
Yeah.
And you look out on this crowd.
The younger
demographic. The average age is probably 20 years old out there.
Yeah, it's a young demographic here for sure.
But they know who Wendell Clark
for
is.
For sure. Legends Row, you know, the legend precedes them. That's not guys you're worried about. You know,
no.
If we had Aki Berg sitting here, I don't know if that's the case, right?
I don't know if Aki's getting the crowd buzzing before.
As much as I like Aki. Aki was – O likes Aki too, right?
O swears by Aki Berg.
I've met him in social situations in Finland because he's buddies with Kiprasov and worked for TPS and all of that. He's an outstanding guy, but I don't have the association of him, the player, in Toronto and how it didn't go so well.
Well, he was on really good teams. He was on those teams in the early 2000s that won a lot of playoff games.
Yeah.
And Aki was out there chopping it up, and he got the job done.
Yeah, just he was.
He left more to be desired.
Yeah, there it is.
He was a guy that went third overall in the draft, so he comes with high expectation. And
right.
Anyway, we're not here to bury Aki Berg.
No.
The point is, the history of the Maple Leafs speaks for itself. I do think Brendan Shanahan has done a very good job of amplifying the history and the legends that much more, because that was a sore spot for a lot of people for a long time.
Well, why would you alienate them? That's the thing that just blows my mind, is you alienate legends in this city. If anything, embrace them, prop them up, allow them to grow the game with you. Mike Milbury took over the Islanders. The first thing he did is get rid of some of the legends around. Bobby Nystrom, Clark Gillies, Mike Bossy, they were all around. I'm a kid drafted by the Islanders, and you want to learn from these guys. You want to have them. I know it's not an Edmonton situation where they sit around and tell you the boys on the bus, but it's nice to have that presence around. And if you infuse them into your organization the right way, like the Maple Leafs have done, then it's a bonus. To me, on the island, he alienated them, and then they said, to hell with you.
Well, and it's not fair to the fans either.
Right. The fans are the ones that identified with those players for years.
Exactly. If you run them off the island or run them out of Toronto, which is what happened here for a long time, and a lot of it was carried over from the Harold Ballard era, and it was ugly. But there's no reason for Wendell Clark not to be a massive presence in this city.
Right.
For Darcy Tucker, for Daryl Sittler, for Lanny McDonald, Matt Sundin when he comes back, Doug Gilmore. I mean, you run down the list. There's so many guys who really meant so much to all of the fans here.
Right.
And they should have a presence.
I'm drawing a blank, and I apologize because he's a legend. The older gentleman that just circled back with the Maple Leafs.
Well, Dave Keon.
Dave Keon,
yeah,
yes.
Davey Keon was the best example of
that
it.
That was the example that always came to mind for me, was, you know, somebody who should have been embraced.
And now
know?
He has been around a lot more.
Which is like, good.
He's in town, I wouldn't say all the time, but more often than not. And there was a 20 or 30-year span where he just was never around.
Which it's wrong. You know, from any standpoint, it's not about him making money off the team or whatever. Like, you want to have somebody like that who meant so much to the organization for people to take pride in him too.
Well, put yourself in the shoes of a 25-year-old Maple Leaf fan right now.
Right.
Can you imagine in 30 years, Austin Matthews just never being here?
Yeah.
Or furthermore, just, you know, there was a complete breakdown. Now, who knows what the future is going to entail?
Yeah, it's tough.
But Matthews, Marner, whoever it's going to be, Morgan, Riley.
Part of this core,
exactly.
Yeah.
Any of them, or all of them for that matter, just having no presence in Toronto in 30 or 40 years down the road. That doesn't seem right. And
it doesn't.
It's what happened here. And it took Shanahan and others, because even Leiwicki came in, and Leiwicki, he came in with a business mentality, get rid of the past because the past is haunting us and dragging us down.
Right, right.
And remember, he came in and he's like, move the pictures, get rid of the pictures.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of blowback from that.
Well, he tried to do a I don't even know if respectful is the right word, but he tried to do a clean slate. And he did it with a mentality of trying to exorcise some demons. But it ruffled feathers because the traditionalists, and so they should. I'm actually advocating for it. They still want that around. Those players that played hard for the organization and had success, you want them to be celebrated. So I think it was just a business plan that kind of backfired in a way that it wasn't malicious, but it wasn't a good look. And then Shanny came in and changed that look and dynamic.
Right, and cleaned up a lot of it. I have to explain what I just experienced.
I'm scared to see.
Do you know what just happened over there?
I want to say that was my wife and my father-in-law, and then
was that like
the uncle?
Her uncle?
Yeah, that's Uncle Danny, I think.
Okay,
because
Uncle
doing?
Danny was staring and waving at me for about 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I didn't know who the guy was.
That's Steph's uncle.
How am I supposed to know that? So he's making. Whenever I made eye contact with him, he was giving me the wave, like, "Hey, send someone out to let me in because there's security down here.
Yeah.
We're in the square and it's all, you know, it's all blocked off.
Yeah.
Because you can't just come in here." So this guy is making locking eyes and waving at me and giving me the, "Hey, I'm Uncle Danny. Send somebody out." And I'm trying to concentrate on a radio show here, and Uncle Danny is staring at me for 15 minutes straight, waving like a lunatic.
Well,
I didn't know who he was.
He's
Uncle Danny.
He's
I'm
Uncle
not trying
Danny,
to put you in a tough spot.
No, I mean,
I'm just saying.
I didn't see him.
All I know, he was, you know, Fred the lunatic from down the street.
I know. I saw Steph and her dad walk out, so I thought that they left.
No, they went to see Uncle Danny, apparently.
And Danny was giving you the eye.
He's not going to be happy with me because apparently I was supposed to know that was Uncle Danny and he was coming down to see Steph.
How about the person that's with him? She's got a pass. She can bring him in. That's her fault. That's
I
not
don't know.
You're trying to run a show here.
Well, that's what I'm
you're
trying
not,
to intimate here.
You're not. It's not your responsibility to be a bouncer.
No, I'm hosting a show here. Exactly. I'm not the security guard.
We're talking about Wendell Clark knocking a guy's helmet and gloves off.
I'm literally trying to get through a conversation with Wendell, and Uncle Danny is waving me down. Uncle Danny is waving his arms in a crazy fashion, trying to get my attention. You got my attention, Danny, but I didn't know who you were. Sorry, pal.
We'll
anyway.
Give him a shout-out and some love. There you go.
Shout-out to Uncle Danny. Big fan of Uncle Danny.
Yeah.
Don't forget, the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Concord Cancer Tournament returns September 28th to Woodbine Racetrack. It's a dawn-to-dusk road hockey marathon that anyone can play in. And if you are a CEO or an executive of a company, talk to your colleagues and enter a corporate team. Employees, talk to your coworkers and bosses about registering as a company. Thousands will play to raise millions for Princess Margaret Cancer Center. To register, visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca. We'll get the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill back in here. We're teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Leafs Bruins game 4. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do, Jerry. We know exactly
the Robert Kraft of hot takes. The Robert Kraft.
Bobby Kraft.
The
I
Bob
am
Kraft.
So watching that tonight.
I don't
when
think
I leave this building, I'm going to watch
Bobby
get
released.
Turned up.
It's not been released. They're threatening to release it.
It's coming out, and I will tune in to see what little Bobby's up to.
It sounds like it's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
but it is time now for Jerry's After Dark.
The Toronto Maple Leafs will ride this momentum and win this series. That's a Jerry's After Dark.
Because you know you want one more.
So Jerry is now on the Maple Leaf bandwagon.
I got to see it tonight. You get up 3-1, I might hop on. But until I see that, I don't know.
What's your percentage?
52%.
So you're above 50%.
Yeah.
That's
it's a huge momentum swing considering I took the Bees to win the series. And a lot of flack along with it.
Yeah, there was a lot of flack. We're all taking flack.
Yeah, but it was warranted until they showed they could play a certain style. Now they've shown that they can. I'm going to go a little higher. Not as high as like 60. I'm going to say 58. Like I'm going to lean towards 60 because tonight's a pivotal game. But I still think this is going seven. But you can stranglehold this series if you win tonight.
Yeah, I think these two teams are... They're very evenly matched. It's difficult to picture either team winning three games in a row.
Yeah.
So
at least six.
Not that it can't happen, but I guess what I'm saying is if the Leafs win tonight, Boston's got to win three in a row.
Right.
Now, two of them would be back at home, but that's a tough task. So, I mean, tonight really is the pivotal game, but I'm going to go a bit higher than both of you guys. You know, I felt good about where the Leafs are at. I've liked them in two of the three games. I'm going to say 70%.
Ooh.
70%.
70%.
I'll bet you Vegas would have it closer to 55-45 Toronto.
Or 52, like I just said.
It would still be close to a coin flip. You know, the Bruins came in favored, and they deserve to be favored. And now, you know, through three, if a team's up one, they're obviously, it's going to flip.
Yep.
You know, like I don't know. I don't think Colorado's favored in their series. I don't. I still like Calgary. I think Calgary shows up tonight. And
we'll see.
We will. But
that's the thing.
I still like Calgary.
The difference is Colorado has outplayed Calgary in all three games.
Game one, I thought Calgary played pretty well in game one.
Smith was pretty good. Like line hasn't showed. Like
they won 5-0. Now it doesn't matter. You know,
but
4-0.
Yeah,
whatever.
Still,
but,
yeah. You're
and
right.
They were empty net goals. I get it.
Yeah.
But
you're right. Listen, I just think overall, if you told me if you said Goudreau or McKinnon, it's been lights out. McKinnon, Goudreau's been quiet.
Not even close.
Monahan quiet. You know, Tkachuk quiet. Like you expect more. Like I said the other day, Frederik Andersen wasn't the storyline for me coming out of Game 3. Mike Smith's had to be a storyline every night for Calgary. That's concerning. So it's a little different look for me when I look at that series because Calgary coming in was going to be goaltending, but it. The goaltender's he's held up. He's been okay.
Yep.
It's the top guys who've done nothing.
You know what I haven't heard since the playoffs started, including myself? I haven't heard one person bitch about the format. People have been loving NHL playoff hockey, haven't they?
Yeah.
Have you heard one thing about the format? All it's been is praise for the quality, the upsets, everything. So maybe Jerry deserves some props.
Well... And the reality is, even if it was still 1-8, it would have been Tampa versus Columbus anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was still going to be Tampa versus Columbus. So it didn't matter what the format was. That sweep was coming.
Columbus deserves props. I don't even know if Panarin is, he may still be on a bender.
Well, they're not playing for another week minimum.
Yeah, good for them.
They're in a pretty good spot. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Dallas tonight. I think they even the series. I think they've been better than Nashville through three games.
Yeah, Pekka's been good.
Pekka Rinne has been very good, but I'm on Dallas tonight, and I am on Calgary tonight. I think Calgary gets back in the series. I think they tie it up going back for game five.
I don't.
They better wake up.
I'm worried about Calgary.
Going. They got to get going, but you're right. You've got a good feeling. And
the Nate train.
Oh, he's
Watch
been outstanding.
Out.
But Johnny Goudreau is going to show up at some
Goudreau
point.
Yeah, Goudreau train has to get going. That's what he – That's.
I think it does tonight.
Yeah.
Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. You missed out on Wendell Clark.
Apparently he hit some other guy at the World Juniors and destroyed him.
Tatarinov was this guy's name. I mispronounced his name, and Wendell corrected me within a split second. He goes, oh, yeah. I remember the hit.
Yeah, confirmed.
Confirmed.
What, someone showed it to you on a YouTube or
something? No, there's no video, which makes it so much more mysterious. Some guy sent me a tweet about an hour ago. Said, ask Wendell about the World Juniors in 84 when he almost killed a Russian guy. I guess John Davidson for 35 years has been claiming it's the biggest hit in the history of the game.
The hardest hit he's ever seen.
Wendell said he hit this guy so hard, his helmet and his gloves both came off. He hit him so hard, his helmet went in the air and his gloves exploded.
He said gloves to the side. Like the guy was starfish on the
end. Video of it.
I don't think there is. In 84?
They weren't televised.
Well, it wasn't black and white with no cameras.
Yeah, there should be. It should
there
be out there
be
somewhere.
Could be like some old. Now, was it in Russia or was it?
Would that have been. Wendell wasn't on that big dust up when Shanahan was
Piastani?
On
Piastani?
Yeah, Piastani. The dust up in Piastani with Fleury and Shanahan and them.
I don't think. There would still be people laying there.
If Wendell was on that team, it wouldn't have happened.
Exactly.
The Russians would have said, turn the lights back on. We're not doing this.
Yeah. We got a guy from Saskatchewan who's running around enjoying this.
Kelvington, yeah. Saskatchewan. Happy to drop the gloves whenever you're ready. Leafs Bruins tonight. And, you know, the first 10 minutes, it's such a cliche, but the Bruins are going to come alive here. If the Maple Leafs can not only weather the storm, but I think if they score first tonight, it's massive. Because this building, there's going to be so much energy in there tonight. The anthems, people are going to be singing along, popping off. People are excited.
I got a feeling about a big win for one or the other. It's going to be a 5-1, 4-0.
Really?
That's the feeling I have.
Oh, I could see OT tonight. I feel it's going to be a closer game.
20? You owe me 40.
We never did the whole count-up of the Masters. You had Tiger.
Do you know your guys?
I remember my guys.
Tiger won $2 million.
I know that, so I'm in trouble because your guy won the tournament. But I had Johnson. I had Rahm. I had
Koepka.
I had like three of the next six or seven guys.
Yeah, $2 million is $2 million. I won.
I think I owe you 80.
Could be. I don't know.
Do you want to put it on low scoring?
I got to settle down here. All right,
do
we're out
want
here.
It?
We'll talk off the air.
Yes.
We got to roll. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
Join us.
Join us.